I have been guilty at times of trying to be too efficient. And at times you really need to, I had a partner who would encourage me. He goes, John, you need to have unproductive, productive time. And what he meant by that was giving myself space with people, with thoughts, plans, and actually just ruminate on them versus just turning it into another transaction.
You are now listening to the podcast where authors inspire listeners to become authors, the Going North Podcast. I'm your host, certified self-leadership trainer, best-selling author, and book enthusiast, Dom Brightman. And you're going to be listening to a different author that will inspire you to join the business of immortality, known as authorship. Now let the fun begin. Today's episode is sponsored by book number two from Dominic Dom Brightman, Stay the Course, The Elite Performer's 7 Secret Keys to Sustainable Success. It is the field guide to help unleash the elite performer that is inside of you. Cop it today on Amazon.com or heading over to DomBrightman.com and snag it in book, ebook, and audiobook. So that way you can take it on the go and get yourself on the go to your northbound success. And today on the Highlight Reel, Builder for Authors, known as the Going North Podcast, we got another super special, awesome human for you today, courtesy of one of the best websites on planet Earth today, known as podmatch.com, the wonderful site where podcast guests get to connect with podcast hosts. And if you love freaking the guests that you've been hearing from, you're really going to love this guy right here, because you're going to be in for a treat that's good enough to eat 14 times over indeed, because we've got an international best-selling author, folks, who is a digital and innovation advisor, keynote speaker, consultant, and my man was an Amazon executive, a former Amazon executive in the trenches in the early 2000s, my friend. So let's give it up for good old JR, who is not old at all, but he is seasoned with all this wonderful wisdom to help you advance in life and in business. John Russman, how you doing today, John?
Dom, it's great to be here. Thank you. Thank you for all you do and the energy you bring to this. So I appreciate it.
Oh, my pleasure indeed. Yesterday, when your name popped up and I saw the title of the Amazon Way, I'm like, hey, wait a second. Okay, this guy's an automatic. Yes. It's right. It's right. Dude. So, my goodness, man. So, did at the age of 13, did you see yourself one day working for a global company that eventually become a trillion-dollar company?
No, at the age of 13, I still had, the false dreams of playing basketball and things like that. So, no, I didn't.
Okay. So what led you to Amazon then?
Yeah, I mean, my career has been so much fun, and I've gotten to do so many different interesting things, but I wouldn't say it's been planful and everything, right? And so it's just been a series of dots. And what I've always liked doing is solving hard problems. And I'm an engineer by education, and I like figuring out, like, hey, how do you get something that's, what I refer to as a wicked problem, right? Multi-sided, not easy, not trivial. No one lever is going to solve the problem. Like, that's what I've followed throughout my career. And it was the early 2000s. I was leading a small software startup in Seattle area, and people probably don't remember this, but there was quite the referred to as the dot bomb era, right? Quite the winter of technology spending and investment spending. So we were wrapping that up, and I had been a partner at Arthur Andersen before that, and I had a colleague who was a finance executive at Amazon. And he was like, John, you should come over and talk to us about a plan that we're kind of developing and stuff. And so I interviewed, I think there was 23 interviews, and it took several months to get through. And it really was more of a consulting project than an interview process, meaning what I was figuring out and what I was figuring out with the people that I was interviewing with at Amazon was like, how we were going to solve this big problem that we were going to try to solve. and what had gone wrong before, what could we learn in going forward. So I joined Amazon in early 2002 to play a key leadership role in launching the marketplace business at Amazon. So the marketplace is third party selling at Amazon.com. At that time, so in 2001, 2002, 90% of the business at Amazon was books, music, video. It was all first party inventory, meaning we purchased the inventory, we fulfilled and sold the inventory. And what the goals of the marketplace were to radically and rapidly expand the number of categories that Amazon was selling in, and to do it by having third party sellers who had the inventory, they had the merchandising expertise, they had the fulfillment expertise, they had the vendor expertise. And so we were going to be leveraging their capabilities on top of our platform. So that was the business that I got to launch and run. Today, over 58% of all units shipped and sold at Amazon are third-party marketplace items. So the business worked. It took a while to develop. It wasn't like this overnight success. But anyway, the book, The Amazon Way, is really my story at Amazon and about the leadership principles. I wrote another book called Think Like Amazon, 50 and a Half Ideas to Become a Digital Leader. That's a complement to The Amazon Way. It's the full playbook of like all the mechanisms, 50 of them precisely, of all the little levers and tricks and strategies and tools and approaches and Jedi maneuvers that I learned at Amazon in order to solve hard problems. And so those have been a couple of the books I've written, and it's been a ton of fun because it's made a lot of impact in the world. Every week I get a message from somebody about how, you know, one of these books has impacted how they solve problems or how they lead their teams, and that's very rewarding.
Yeah, definitely indeed. Because going through the book, I think I got up to page 54 last night with The Amazon Way, and the chapter I ended on, it was two interesting ideas that popped into my head from the book. I think the first one that's probably really huge, I guess, with you being an engineer on top of that, was having to write these six pagers, these narratives, as opposed to PowerPoint presentations.
Yeah, writing full paragraphs, full sentences, full narratives, you know, full documents with the goal of explaining something to somebody else is an absolute superpower for clear thinking. And when you are dealing with complex, subtle situations in business, to some degree in your life, writing them out is definitely the way to not only get your thinking clear, but to get other people. And anytime you're in an organization and you're trying to solve hard problems, A, you want to take advantage of other people's thinking, and B, you need to bring them along relative to like how we're going to proceed on this. And so the communication challenges are tremendous. And memos, and then debating the memos, and then building on top of the memos is definitely the way to go. People think of it as like, man, it's kind of slow. Well, it's actually a form of experimentation. It is the cheapest and fastest form of experimentation you can do, is to write, debate, refine, and test these things out as a thought experiment via the memo. So yeah, Amazon calls this working backwards. So start with the customer and work backwards. And the writing and debating is the core to their entire innovation process. And I've had the opportunity to implement and adjust this across a number of different companies. And it's always a fun journey. It's not an easy journey, but it's a fun journey and tremendously impactful.
Yeah, I can imagine, because when I got to that part of the book, I'm like, wow. And hey, you mentioned that weekend you had to really fight over those things to make sure you got it right for those meetings. I'm like, man, that's good.
Yeah, and you really did. You paid attention to specific words, and you were always shooting for clarity. And clarity means both the completeness of thought, but simplicity of thought. So you're trying to boil it off to the absolute bare minimum, bare metal essence of what the situation is, and not add on top of it lots of unessential words or content or information to just make it as direct as possible. And if you can think and write that way, you are the master of the topic and to some degree of the conversation and the proceedings that go on.
Yeah, you could say that again indeed. You could definitely say that again indeed. So my goodness, so did they have a special order for who went first for the narratives that y'all had to read, or was it just one narrative per meeting?
No, you know, the agendas would be very specific to what was going on and the topics that were going on. And sometimes we were doing these as, you know, like, hey, we've got a problem. So more of a, like a correction of error circumstance, like, hey, something bad happened. Let's really diagnose this situation and come up with a true permanent fix. Sometimes it was really in our planning process. And so we had an annual planning process that we called OP1. And it was really about your plans and what your goals were, and more importantly, how were you going to get there, and what dependencies did you have on others so that we could make, and what do we understand well about the plan versus the things that we think are assumptions or maybe outside of our control, so we can make really good plans. And then sometimes they were on new innovative topics, right? Or new features, new capabilities, new categories, new geographies, new anything, right? And so, but all of these use kind of the narrative, future press release, FAQ, frequently asked questions approach to building better plans and solving problems better.
There we go. Solving problems better indeed. Solving them better and not butter. You love to see it. And you mentioned press release too. And I think that was also in the same chapter. So do you still do that in your personal life too with your business as well? Because that was an interesting piece. It's like, oh, a press release, write that when you're basically done and ready to promote your product. But it's like you kind of had the zero-based thinking approach where you would write it now before the product even fully launched.
Yeah, it's you really do it at the very beginning. So the technique you're referencing is called a future press release. So it's kind of one of the envisioning exercises, writing exercises that you do, and you do it at the very start. And you write the press release. It's called a press release, but you would never actually release it, right? And what you talk about is not the point of launch where you know, release the new product, the new capability. You talk about it at some point, you know, a year after that. And you always start with the customer. Why did the customer love this? And what you're trying to get to is what I refer to as the killer feature. Like, what was the real essence that delighted the customer? Like, why would they switch? Why would they refer this new capability to their friends? Why would they talk about it on social media? And what you find so often is people don't really understand the core problem they're trying to solve for their customer. And that could be an internal customer and an external customer. They don't really understand, and they don't really have a hypothesis as to, well, this is the absolute essence of how I'm going to solve the problem and delight the customer. They just have a vague notion of, you know, improving customer experience or solving this problem and doing something, you know, and magic appears here. Well, they can't describe what the actual magic is, right? And so this, the future press release, is a way of teasing that out. And it's a lighter weight document, right? It's a press release. It's less than one page. So it's a good document for the rest of the organization to be aware of this important endeavor that we are starting.
I love it indeed. That's right. Because I'm like, oh man, future press release, this is freaking great. Because that's actually more of a concrete way of really envisioning, like you mentioned earlier. Like it makes a lot more sense that way. And I feel like that should be probably publicized a lot more often for those who talk about visualizing the future. Because it's like, yeah, you can have a picture in your mind, but it's like when you get it on paper, you can actually clarify to make it more concrete like that.
And share it with others and get their feedback, get their improvements to it, and decide, you know, between subtle flavors of it. Well, is it kind of like A, or is it more like A prime, or more like A double prime? Like, which of these versions is our hypothesis, right? And I pose that as like, we think this is the right way to do it. And that allows you then to sprint and to iterate as quickly as possible to test that vision and then see if you were right and make adjustments, right? And that's the true agile manifesto and approach, which is to be have hypothesis driven, prioritized focus of what we think to be true, and then testing and verifying that, and trying to defer as much as possible that isn't directly connected to testing that hypothesis.
So I'm talking about in days. I'm talking about in days. So my goodness. So with just those two tools alone, in the dozens, if not probably, I guess close to hundreds of tools at this point, you got another wonderful book coming out. That's probably, I guess, tomorrow at the top of this recording. When folks actually get to hear this, Big Bet Leadership, and you're tag team with somebody on this one, man. So, what can folks expect from this wonderful book and Big Bet Leadership? What even inspired the title too?
Yeah, so the title is Big Bet Leadership, Your Transformation Playbook for Winning in the Hyper Digital Era. And we've got a great hardcover book, we've got an ebook, we've got a great audio book. We wrote it really in mind to be a great audio listen and a great story and a great narrative. We didn't burden it with too much detailed information. We've got a ton of online tools available to complement the book. And you know, the story of the book I can take from several angles, but the essential story for a reader, for a business leader, is this is an executive playbook to help an executive do an important but really dangerous part of their job, which is to transform their organization. And I say it's dangerous because we all know that, you know, whether it's 70, 75%, 80% of all of these big bets fail, right? So a big bet is any type of strategy, initiative, plan that we think holds real promise, trajectory changing promise for the organization, but we know that there's material risk that it actually works. And that's why it's a bet, right? Like, we think it's a good idea, but we don't know for sure. And so these are often called like a digital transformation or an innovation program or a market repositioning initiative or an operating model transition. Like, they go by lots of names, but at their heart, they're all the same thing, which is a big bet. And so the book is a new type of playbook on how to actually succeed at big bets. And my co-author, Kevin McCaffrey, Kevin ran strategy at T-Mobile. He ran strategy in the Google Ads business. We learned a lot by being in these environments at Google, at T-Mobile, at Amazon. I was an advisor for the Gates Foundation of how do you actually succeed at these big bets? And we boiled it down to three critical habits that differentiate the legends of working at big bets. So people like Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, Satya Nadella at Microsoft, and John Legere from T-Mobile. And there's three critical habits that they do. They create clarity, they maintain velocity, and they accelerate risk validation. So the whole book is about how to put those three critical habits into play across three different domains. And those domains are how we think about something, the environment in which we run it, and then how we actually manage it. And so it's a nice, lightweight read and book. It's not meant to be an end-to-end methodology. It will complement whatever type of endeavor or initiative that you are on, but it is meant for senior leaders to help them win at these types of transformative changes and to become a transformative leader, which is what we call a big bet legend.
Sweet. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Why go to a casino? Just buy 10 copies of this book. That's
Yeah,
right.
and as a special promotion, the ebook will be just 99 cents for the first month of selling here. And so we've got a great price on the ebook. I appreciate early customer reviews. Everybody knows that that's, you know, key to that, to getting the flywheel going here and everything. So I really look forward to people's feedback on Big Bet Leadership.
Heck yeah, indeed. Heck yeah, indeed. And those are three interesting, powerful habits. So if I'm not mistaken, create clarity, right? So that's the first one.
Yes, sir.
And then the second one, maintain velocity. Or
maintain velocity. And we use that word maintain. We thought about that a lot, because what happens is companies, teams, they always start with great vigor. They always start with great energy, but they quickly take an initiative and they let it slow down and adapt the normal kind of pace of progress, pace of business within the organization. So the secrets are really about how to maintain the velocity, because we always start with good velocity.
You were so right about that, because that one definitely piqued my ears. I'm like, oh yeah, clarity, that's definitely given, but maintaining velocity, like, dude, that's definitely a major one right there, because you're so right. Like, the beginning, everybody's got all this wonderful energy. Like, let's do this thing. Let's climb Mount Everest, slay 10 dragons, and take over the planet, take over all of Earth and Jupiter. It's like, no, I need more coffee. Let me call it sick for the next 20 days. Metaphorically. Oh, man. I know you probably don't want to get too deep into it. So what do you think is one of the major reasons why folks have trouble maintaining velocity as an organization?
Because of all the normal course of business and because of our normal types of policies, the normal way that we go about things, the normal way we prioritize, the normal way that we make decisions, the normal way that we allocate budgets, the normal way that we think about what success and failure is. Those are all the things that slow down initiatives. And, you know, the problem with these transformational changes is they don't fail for a simple set of reasons. It's not like there's two or three reasons that if we get those right, like, we're going to do well. There is a long slate of why these reasons fail. And so that's the tricky part about it. But, you know, again, by framing it by big bet thinking, big bet environment, and big bet management, we address kind of all the critical elements of why these big bets fail. And it truly is about creating the clarity in our thinking, maintaining the velocity of testing and verifying, and bringing forward the critical risks, the critical assumptions, deferring everything else that we possibly can, and testing and validating those before we make big commitments. That's what big bet legends do, to not just win at one big bet, but to systematically win at their big bets. And that's the tools that we give to the readers. And I'll mention again, like, we kept the book very readable, very a great listen. But with purchase of the book, you get access to a great set of tools, resources, templates, frameworks that we've built from the book to help you put it into action, including tools to help you write these types of memos that we kind of referred to. So we took the Amazon memo writing approach, and Kevin and I, we've implemented it together at a couple of different big enterprises. And we learned some things along the way about how to take that into a culture that doesn't have that type of background. And so we really script the moves of kind of how to do that in the book. And we give some great tools to help a team or an enterprise do that.
Solid right there, indeed. Yeah, you're so right. Speed is definitely everything, especially with the way business can work when they get too big in a bureaucracy. I know Jeff was big on making sure Amazon avoids that as much as possible.
Well, I think bureaucracy becoming, slowing down, taking fewer chances, not being willing to change your thinking or your approach on a topic. I really think that that's Jeff's, has always been Jeff's number one concern for Amazon as it had success. And so you see him counterintuitively doing things that most people go, oh, God, I don't know if that makes sense to do. And that is exactly what he's trying to solve for, is how do we maintain the innovative entrepreneurial spirit that made Amazon, now that it is obviously, like, not just big, but such an influential organization in business, in society, in economics.
Heck yeah, its influence is everywhere indeed. Funny enough, a couple of my colleagues jokingly call themselves Amazon hoes and Jeff is their pimp because of all the wonderful sales they get with Amazon and the wonderful recommends afterwards. And thanks to Prime and everything with the quick shipping.
I think we're all probably a little guilty of that. So yeah. But you know, that's, you know, when you've created a delightful customer experience is when customers go like, ah, man, I've got a little problem with this. I like it so much. I've got a little problem with it. Right.
It's true. It's like, oh man, I got a spending problem. I don't have a budget.
Right.
Problem.
Exactly.
Spending problems. Like, don't add the card. Don't do it. No. Oh my gosh. So my goodness, my goodness. So I guess tying in theme with your fabulous book, Big Bet Leadership, my goodness, as with all big bets, sometimes maybe some failures disguised, which really are just learning lessons. So has there been a major setback in life or a lesson that actually became a setup for success for you in life or business?
Major setback. I don't know if there was one in particular, but I would say I have been guilty at times of trying to be too efficient. And at times you really need to, I had a partner who would encourage me. He goes, John, you need to have unproductive, productive time. And what he meant by that was giving myself space with people, with thoughts, plans, and actually just ruminate on them versus just turning it into another transaction. And really, the way I've molded my career over, especially over the past 7, 8 years, is to give myself the time and space to really think about challenges, like my clients' challenges, what I'm trying to do with my business, to tackle meaty projects like a new book like Big Bet Leadership, and to give myself space and time to understand, like, sometimes these things feel like unproductive time, but you're actually making a ton of progress in solving these problems. So that's probably in my orientation towards efficiency and getting a lot of things done, kind of unwiring that and understanding that contemplative thought is the key to solving really hard problems. And you cannot rush that.
You're just so right. Sometimes you want to rush to the finish line so quick, you probably forget a bunch of treasures you could have found on the way to the finish line.
Well, that and really knowing that you're going towards the right finish line, right? Like that's the challenge. Yeah. is are we targeting the correct direction here?
Well spoken indeed. Well said. Well said. Dick, you're so right. Because that could be the thing. And I guess you basically were wired for that, especially during your time at Amazon. It's like, oh, let's make sure this is as efficient as possible here. And it's like, let me keep that in my own life so that way I can keep it in my business. And it's like, hey, buddy, you still got to have some unproductive, productive time. Relax a bit. You don't have to be so conventional all the time.
It really isn't about relaxing. Like it actually is working, but it's having that thoughtful, non-distracted, non-interrupt driven way of thinking through a problem. And back to the memos, by writing things out, that if you turn off all the distractions, that's actually the unproductive, productive time, because you are working on solving a problem and giving yourself the environment to be successful at thinking hard things through.
There we go. That deep work indeed. That's that deep work indeed.
It is. That's the key term. It's deep work. Exactly.
Yeah, that's right indeed. That's probably why so many successful riders like take time away and have a certain place or vacation spot where they go to so they can actually write and create.
and just turning off the phone, turning off email, turning off Slack, turning off all these little interrupters of your deep work.
Because it's coming for you. The distractions are coming for you in all shapes and sizes. So, my goodness, John, since you've been on so many interviews, is there a question that you wish folks would ask you more often?
What a great question. A question that I wish I got asked more often. Yeah, how can you work with us and everything, right? Like, who wouldn't want to get a call to action? And you know, I have a very flexible value ladder in my business. You can take advantage of the work I've done by, I have a newsletter called the Digital Leader Newsletter. So you can read the newsletter, you can read or listen to a book. I do keynotes, I do workshops, I do advisory work, and I do consulting work. So up and down the value ladder is a very flexible, very approachable way to help people solve the hard problems and take advantage of the opportunities in their business. And that's the essence of the business model that we've created at Rossman Partners.
That's right indeed. A man's got as many tears as a skyscraper, y'all. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Many flowers you can choose from it. Indeed. Content machine, y'all. Content machine swag indeed. It's a fun question for you. If your fabulous book, The Big Bad Leadership, Your Transformation Playbook for Winning in the Hybrid Digital Era, if that book were a food, what would it be and why?
If that book were a food, boy, you have thrown me some interesting, hard questions. Would be it be like a superfood, a new type of superfood, right? Because it's not a tradition, it's not traditional management science thinking, but yet it's really, really good for you and it helps you solve hard problems. So I don't know, you know, what that superfood is, but you know, something from like Star Trek where they kind of had the instant nutrition and stuff. That's what Big Bet Leadership would be if it were a food.
There we go. That's right indeed, sir. That right, folks. Make sure your phasers are on stun, y'all. That's right indeed. While you're eating this wonderful book, metaphorically. Biohacker's dream come true, superfood. That's right indeed. Make sure your leadership skills healthy. That's right indeed. You'll have six pack abs leadership, maybe even eight packs. That's right indeed. That's right indeed. Well, we're coming down to the magical question that every guest gets to receive, and that is, if you were to wake up tomorrow and you were 25 again, but you're still in the current year, what advice would you give to yourself?
Well, you know, the advice I wish I had gotten earlier in my career was to bet on myself earlier. And I think I oftentimes played it too safe and I didn't bet on myself on kind of some of the more interesting, more risky opportunities that have come my way. And so that would have been the right advice for me. I grew up in a very conservative household that like, hey, just having a job was success, you know, and everything. And you try to shut those influences out of your life. You recognize them, you know, and everything, but it takes some time to unlearn that. So that would have been the advice for young John. I'm not saying that's the right advice for everybody else, but that would have been the right advice for 25-year-old John.
That's what I'm talking about, indeed. It's so true, y'all. It's right, indeed. Depending on what stage you are in your life, sometimes you really do have to just stop playing small and bet on yourself. Actually, quite a few guests, bro, have touched on that a time or two, indeed. Some folks sometimes stay a little too long. It's like, that good old traditional conservative trade. It's like, yep, get a good job and make sure you have good benefits and stay there for like ever. And it's like, I mean, that really kind of doesn't exist nowadays. You gotta have multiple pots here in this kitchen
Yeah,
of life.
a lot of people think that that's the riskiest position of all, which is, you know, having kind of just one job with one company and stuff. And so it's an interesting change and difference in how you think about how to answer that question.
Yeah, indeed. That's right, indeed. That's right indeed. Especially the other part of the question, folks tend to forget. It's like, yes, the current year. So it's like, yeah, you basically wake up as a Gen Zer. Oh, Well, folks need to wake up with all of your content on their mind. So for those who need to do just that and keep up with your journey, John, what's the best way for folks to do so?
You know, johnrossman.com is my website. LinkedIn, John Rossman, is a great way to connect with me. And bigbetleadership.com is where you can find specific information about the book. Obviously, you can go to Amazon for that. But if you want to hear kind of my story and my co-author's story on Big Bet Leadership, you can go to the website and we've got some fun materials there for you.
Sweet. We are that right, folks. BigBetLeadership.com. Cop a copy of the book or cop multiple copies indeed. Grab it while it's still on sale, y'all. That's right. Indeed. So we can grow your leadership library, grow your leadership skills and your brain. Think even better. Learn how to maintain that velocity is most importantly. So that way you can keep that vigor. Make sure it's sustainable indeed. So that way you can walk out the casino with all the chips and 100 security guards looking at you funny because you won all the money. Metaphorically.
That's right.
Well, before Caesar's Palace comes and tries to seize everything, any parting words before we close up shop?
I think books are essential to actually improving how we think about things and opening our minds. And so anytime somebody wants to talk about books, my journey with authoring and publishing, anything like that, I'm always open to sharing what I've learned along my journey of being an author, because it wasn't planned and everything. So I've learned a lot of high points and low points along the way.
If you're hearing this part of the episode, that means you're one cool individual. Thanks a bunch for tuning in, and if you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to share it with at least one other person in your network. Bonus points for three. And be sure to check out the backlog too while you're at it, because there are hundreds of wonderful episodes to choose from as well.